Children, are you ready to go down? Yes? No? Do we have children for children's church this morning? If we have two that are hesitant, do they just want to stay in the service and give the workers a break this week? It kind of looks that way. That's fine. We're flexible around here. That's okay. If we had like 10 children here, I'd say, you know what? Sorry, you're going downstairs. But but no. You can stay. You want to stay upstairs? You want to go downstairs? Yeah? All right. Lily wants to go downstairs. I think Bella really does too. She says no. All right. Karen, somebody working with you? All right. Oh, Karina? Could I have the workers and the children? Even if it's just you, Lily, we'll do it just for you. Okay? Is that cool? All right. All right. Father, bless the children and the workers today. They're going to have a wonderful time. You're going to have a wonderful time downstairs, I'll guarantee it. Amen. God bless you. Go ahead, Lily. You can go. That's right. You don't want to, you know, well, maybe you do. I'm going to be a little boring today anyway because I don't have a PowerPoint, so there's nothing for you to look at. So forgive me for not having a PowerPoint this morning. First time in I don't know how long. Maybe since I started using PowerPoints, but I have to confess, I have been corrected in a very powerful and positive way. I have some board members that have been trying to twist my arm to talk about what I'm going to talk about today, and I don't know why. I don't know why. But having taken a serious look at what I'm going to talk about today, I have found, wow. I have found some wow. I love it when the Holy Spirit gives me wow. And I laughed at the sense of humor the Holy Spirit has this morning, because believe me, those who know me, how I plan a service, I drive other pastors and leaders crazy because I don't have a formula that I follow. I don't, you know, I know guys that, you know, on Monday morning they make sure they have their introduction ready, and on Tuesday they make sure they have a topic, and on Wednesday they make sure the body of that topic is filled in, and on Thursday, you know, they have this plan and it's all structured. I'm not like that. I'm just going to confess. Some people would say that well, you just fly by the seat of your pants, and I'd say, well, yeah, that's kind of what it's like. But I just trust God. If He gives me a message on Monday morning, then that's the message I'll preach on Sunday morning. Unless He changes it Saturday night or Sunday morning. He's done that to me too. So understand, I'm just making this point that I don't always have everything planned out. I don't have the song service planned out until I get here and I just start picking out songs and see what the Spirit puts on my heart. Oh yeah, let's do that. And so this morning when I haven't sung a hymn in I don't know how long. I'm not a hymn guy. But I pull out, "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus." As soon as I read the first line as we were singing it, "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word," the Holy Spirit said, "See?" In the rest of the song, as the Spirit is reminding me what I'm about to talk about this morning, is saying, "See? It's all right there," and He tied it all together. I might have to use some of that. I don't know. "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus." That last line, "I'm so glad I learned to trust You, precious Jesus, Savior, friend, and I know that You are with me and You will be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I've proved Him over and over. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus. Oh, for grace to trust Him more." Now, having... You guys don't know what I'm going to talk about yet, so maybe a few of you do. Oh, the timing. God's timing. See, now all of a sudden stuff is starting to click as I look at my sister. I'll explain that too. I'm just so blessed. Everybody say this. God, give me grace to trust you more. Okay, now let me tell you what I'm going to talk about this morning. Tithing and giving. Remember what we just said. God, give me grace to trust you more. And the reason why I say God's timing is just so awesome. My sister is just about to launch a financial fitness teaching. Perfect timing. I'm going to throw this out there before I say anything about Scripture, before I read you any verses, but I'm going to say this. If you want to be financially fit, then give it away. And you'd be like, what? Give it away. Also, for my board members and those who have wanted me to preach on tithing for a while, I want you to know that God's word also has convicted me and instructed me. If you look real quick, I was going to start with this verse, Hebrews chapter 7, verse 5. It smudges on my glasses. It drives me crazy. I'd like to see your faces, not smudges. I got to fix that. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 5. Oh, there you are. So much better. It says, indeed, those who are of the sons of Levi who receive the priesthood have a commandment to receive tithes from the people according to the law, that is, from their brethren, though they have come from the loins of Abraham. Now, in the center of that verse, it says that the sons of Levi had a commandment to receive tithes from the people. It was a commandment to receive tithes of the people. And when I read that verse, what the Lord spoke to me is, me as your pastor, as your spiritual leader, I need to be teaching you about tithing. It's not an option. And some of you will be like, oh my gosh, it's time to leave this church because all of a sudden it's about money. I want you to know something. And I don't know how far I'm going to get into this, but this is serious stuff. Do you understand that your spiritual life or death may be attached to how much you give? Are you aware of that? Ananias and Sapphira, for those of you, I hope we all know what the Bible says, what happened to them. And there's principle all through the Bible about tithing. It started in Genesis. Of course, everything starts in Genesis. Every doctrine, every theology, everything that we believe has its beginnings and roots in Genesis. I think that's why they named the book Genesis, which means beginnings. Tithing started in Genesis with Abraham, tithing to Melchizedek. And there's a lot of mystery involved in that. But after that, it became such a powerful principle that God gave the Levites the law. And in the law, he talked about several different tithes that they were commanded and demanded to give. So much so that in Malachi chapter 3, turn to Malachi chapter 3. And I hope if you're one of those who are of the idea, oh no, now it's about money, and now there's a problem. If that's you, then please take notes, because I don't want you to miss this. Matthew chapter 3. I'm sorry. Ooh, you guys are on it. Malachi chapter 3. And I'm not saying these things because I want to scare you into giving all your money. That's not what it's about. That is not it at all. But I'm going to tell you some things because I hope to inspire you to learn how to worship God with everything. I've said this many times. If God doesn't want your money, he wants your heart, because if he has your heart, he'll have your money. You will invest what you believe in. And what are our investments about? The more you invest in something, the more you gain from that thing, right? It's the same thing spiritually. The more you invest in God's kingdom, the more you gain spiritually. And you may be thinking, well, I don't have anything to give. Or I don't have much to give. You know what? I'll let God work on your heart and show you. We do have to give. Malachi chapter 3, verse 7 through 12 says, "Yet from the days of your fathers you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you." What is he saying there? He's telling the children of Israel, you know what? You haven't kept my commandments, and therefore I have departed from you. And you know what? I know people, and you know people, that it seems like God's presence is nowhere near. I've had people tell me, I feel so distant from God. And I'm not saying that you can purchase your way back into the kingdom, but I'm telling you what, if you sow into God's kingdom, He will sow into your life. He says, if you return to me, I will return to you. But you said, in what way shall we return? In verse 8, it says, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? And the answer there is tithes and offerings. You see, we don't always correlate the things of the world with the things of God. We don't understand how it always works. But I want you to, I'm really beginning to get to the place in my understanding of money, that money never was intended for the world, but it was God's all along. And we have taken God's money and used it for our own gain, and gotten ourselves in trouble and found ourselves at times separated from God. And God wants us to get back to His Word. He wants us to get back to His truth. Come back to Him in tithes and offerings so that He would return to us. Verse 9, you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Now, I don't like curses. I don't think anybody here likes curses. Yesterday we were playing a simple game. There's this washer game we play where we throw washers in the holes and boards and score points and stuff. And Cruz was getting ready to throw his because he was playing on the other team against me. And he's getting ready to play his. And I just took my hand and I went like that over his washers. And he said, "Aw, don't curse my washers." And he missed. I didn't do that. I just went, But nobody wants to be cursed, right? I don't want to be cursed. You know what I forgot to do? I was thinking about this. I did this once before. Ladies, take your purses, and men, take your wallets, and just hold them up just like this. I did this one time before. Just hold them up high. And say this. This is God's. This is not mine. God, use this how you see fit. Amen. You can put that back. What's that? It's okay. It's still His. It's still His. And if there's nothing in it because you have sown in His kingdom, oh, trust me, there's a whole lot more in there than what you think. But it says, you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, for this whole, even this whole nation. Verse 10, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord. Try me now. This is one of the things where God says, go ahead, test me. Go ahead, try me. Test me, God says. You know, there's verses that say, don't test the Lord, don't tempt the Lord your God. But here He says, go ahead, try me. And what's He say about that? Try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts in verse 10, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. You cannot outgive God. Now, I don't want you to misunderstand. I'm not saying give to the church. I'm not saying give to God's kingdom or give to the poor in order that you can, oh, if I do this, I'm going to receive more for me. If that's your thought, you're going to miss it. I don't have money because God wants to bless me with money. I have money because God wants me to use it for his kingdom. Period. Whether I have a little, whether I have a lot, he wants me to be faithful with that and give it. And he says that he'll open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing on us that there won't be room to receive it. Verse 11 says, I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. What does that mean? How many feel like, man, that devil is always just putting something in front of me that takes all my money, I can't pay my bills? Well, you know what? God will rebuke that devil if you would have a different mentality of money, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground. What's that mean? It means, you know, that in literal context, it means if you planted crops, they're going to grow and be fruitful and abundant. Indirectly, what that means is you buy a car. I got a car out there. I paid very little money for it. It's used. It had lots of miles on it, and there's some rust. And guess what? I'm expecting that car to last me a long time. I need that car to last me a long time. How many have bought, you know, it doesn't matter whether you have a used car or a brand new car. How many ever bought a brand new car and the thing just broke down and it broke down and it broke down? Yeah. I know a brother right now who bought a tractor trailer and he's out there trying to make money. And every time he gets a little bit ahead, the truck breaks down and he goes a whole lot backwards and the guy's getting all discouraged. Why? Because there's a devourer out there that ruins our increase if we are not using money the way God wants us to use it. It's a very powerful and important principle that we need to understand. So in verse 11, he says, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. We have people here who own vineyards, who know what it's like to wonder, oh my God, are we going to have a good crop? Or are we going to have a bad crop? I trust the Lord to bless you because you're generous and you give. That those crops will not fail. And they will bear fruit. And it says, all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord. A delightful land. Now, I talked about, nobody likes curses, but everybody likes delights, right? I like delights. I like to be delighted. I like to be a delight to somebody else. Be delight of Jesus. No, I'm just kidding. Sorry, I had a little tangent there. Crack myself up. Kylie likes it because her dad does the same thing I do. You know those bad dad jokes. Anybody had that bad dad joke thing going? My kids hate it too, or love it. Depends. When they get older, they kind of appreciate it, but when they're young, they don't like it. And so people might say, well, you know what? That's all. That's the Old Testament. And the Old Testament is full of principles of tithing. Full. All the way through. It was in Genesis. God wrote it in the law. You know, you can read through your Bibles and you'll find out where they were faithful to it and when they were unfaithful to it and the blessings they received for being faithful and the curses they received for not being faithful. And that's why Malachi says the things he does, because you know what? He found that the children of Israel were not being obedient to God in their giving, and he realized, you know what? There's a curse on this nation because of it. Do not curse yourself by not giving to God, by not sowing into God's kingdom, by not giving a tithe in an offering. And I want you to understand something. A tithe is a 10%. According to the Word of God, the tithe really was meant for the work of the ministry. It was to help provide for the work of the ministry. And the offerings was for the poor. It was a whole separate thing. And so when we say 10%, we understand, you know, a tithe, if you look up the word tithe, it means 10% of the increase. And so a tithe, you know, if you want to be obedient to God's word, I'm just going to lay this out there. If you want to be obedient to God's word, then you will give 10% of the increase, which means, you know what, let's say I make $500 in my check, okay, automatically $50, boom, goes to the church. Why? For the work of the ministry. What's the work of the ministry? The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers, the chairs, the lights, the carpet, the building, the parking lot. It's all part of the work of the ministry. We can't do this without a tithe. Missionaries, and by the way, we the second Monday, I'm sorry, you can give on Monday too if you want. The second Sunday of each month, we're going to take a separate offering. We decided because our church, what we try to do is we try as a church to pay tithe on the offerings that we take in. If you were at our annual business meeting, we took in a little over $60,000, whatever the number was. We try to pay tithe out of that offering. Thank you, brother. What do we got going here? A dollar and a dime? 10%. A dime is 10% of a dollar. Thank you. What an illustration. Hallelujah. If you have $10, you can hold up. It's simple. It's so simple.
That's why the metric system works better.
That's why the metric system. Those Canadians, man, they're godly people. They get that 10% thing right down. And the French, too, apparently. It is pretty simple. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, 3/4 versus 0.75. It's the same. Where was I going? Oh, thank you. The second Sunday of each month, we're going to take another offering. We're going to take our tithes offering, and we're going to take another offering. We're going to send the baskets out twice, specifically for the missionaries, because we want to provide for the work of the ministry. That's what a tithe is. And if you look at, I read something this morning that talked about, you know, the Levites. They were instructed to give 3 tithes. One was for the ministry. One was for, I don't know, they had 3 things. And so we're gonna give our tithes and offerings, and then we're going to give over above that for the missionaries, because they can't do what they do without money. They can't do it. It takes money for airplane tickets to fly around the world and get to these places. It takes money for food. It takes money for provision. You know, Bibles to be made, to send out and give to, you know, people of all languages in the world. All sorts of things. It takes money. And so on the second Sunday of the month is Mission Sunday, and we will be just, I'm telling you that so you can be prepared to bring a tithe and offering, but also bring something more for the missionaries. Because in our missions offerings, if you looked at the paperwork of our finances, we took in, there are people that give and they mark on their envelope, this is for missions, and that's what you want to do. If it's specifically for missions, mark it on there. And so we take in a little, this last year was between $500 and $600 we took in for the missionaries, but we gave out over $5,000. And so if we, the church, if we, the individual, do not put that money in there specifically for missionaries, it's coming out of the general fund anyway. And so we need to do that to keep up with our missions giving. By the way, just so you're aware, the Lord has blessed the church this year. This is the first year in several years where we took in more than we spent, which is amazing. Thank you, Jesus. And it was a considerable amount, and we're blessed by that. But you know what? The more we do that, think about it for a moment. You know, what makes a great church? What great people make a great church? but a great deal of money also makes a great church. Would you like us to have to tear out that parking lot when it gets worn out and not be able to replace it and go back to the dirt and the mud that we used to have? When, you know, we have to plan for things ahead. You know, I've been looking at the parking lot, and this out here is not too bad, but this in the back is getting pretty bad. We're going to have to replace that. So we have to have some funds in the bank so when the time comes, we can do those things. Anyway. And so you might say, oh, it's just about the Old Testament. No, it's more than just the Old Testament. Even Jesus talked about tithing. Look at Matthew chapter 23, verse 23. Matthew 23, 23. That's really interesting because a few weeks ago it was 22:22. I can't remember what it was, but there was something about all the twos. Seems like it would maybe 2 Timothy 22:22 or something. I don't know. There's not 22 chapters in Timothy, so that certainly wasn't it. But Matthew 23:23, Jesus is talking to the scribes and the Pharisees. And he says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. For you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, which, doesn't that sound good? They pay tithe. Hallelujah. They're being obedient. He says, you pay tithe of these things and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. Now, they were doing the small thing. Paying their tithe was the small thing. He says, you pay your tithe. You've been doing that. Wonderful. But you neglect the weightier things, which are, as I said there, justice, where to go? Justice, mercy, and faith. Now, the church, a lot of times we're all about justice, mercy, and faith. And we forget the small thing. The tithe is the small thing. It's a dime to a dollar. It's a dollar to $10. It's $10 to $100. It's $100 to $1,000. The math is pretty simple. And guess what? Jesus says, that's the small thing. You've been doing the small thing. You haven't been doing the great thing. Well, I'm glad that the church is about justice, mercy, and faith. I'm glad the church is about the great thing, but we can't forget the small thing. And you know what? We have made tithing and giving of offerings a big thing for us. It's like, oh boy, that's more than I can bear. No, it's not. It should be the simple thing. If you can't do anything else, do the small thing. And God will bless you until you and you'll be able to do the weightier things. Now listen, look at what he continue on there. It says, these you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. So Jesus here is saying, you should be doing it all. Jesus never said, well, you don't have to give a tithe. No, he said, you should do this and you should do that. And so yes, Jesus taught about tithing. Just because, you know, he came along, it didn't, a lot of things changed at the cross. The only thing that changed at the cross was how we deal with sin. You see, before the cross, if you were a sinner, there were certain punishments right up to the death penalty. After the cross, the way we deal with sin is now with grace and with forgiveness and mercy. Thank God I didn't live in the Old Testament. Most of us probably would have been stoned to death. Either that or we would have understood, hopefully we would have understood the law enough not to do those types of sins that would have got us killed for our faith. But I'll guarantee you there are people here today, maybe myself included, that would have been stoned to death for our sin. But after the cross, there's faith and mercy. But you know what? When it comes to a lot of the other laws, when it comes to tithing, still active. Still matters. When it comes to taking care of the needy and the poor, still active, still matters. There's a lot of things that just because it was before the cross doesn't mean it's not still active today. And tithing is one of those things. Jesus was rebuking the Pharisees. You know what? You were good at tithing. You didn't take care of these things, but you should have did them both. And I believe that what he's telling us as a church today is, you know what? You need to do both. Don't neglect the little thing. Do it all. Do the big thing and the little thing. Now, the purpose of tithing, I don't know how far I'm going to get through this. What have I got going on here? Oh, boy. We're not going to get through this. What was this verse I wrote on the side? All right, let me give you the purpose of tithing, and then I'll give you the verse that I wrote on the side, and then we'll talk some more about it next week. Hallelujah. Oh, boy. You guys aren't going to like me after this. The purpose of tithing. You know, I've already talked about it. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 13 and 14. This is 1 Corinthians. This is New Testament. Do you not know that those who minister the holy things eat of the things of the temple, and those who serve at the altar partake of the offerings of the altar? Even so, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should live by, from the gospel. What that's saying is the reason why there's a tithe is so that I can preach. It's for people who minister. We can't do this. I got to eat too. I got to raise my kids too. I got to pay a mortgage too. And so a tithe and offering is for that. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and that's in the middle of this, starting back up to verse 5. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren to go to you ahead of time and prepare your generation's gift, your generous gift beforehand, which you had previously promised, that it may be ready as a matter of generosity and not as a grudging obligation. What Paul was saying is, you know what? I told you ahead of time that I was coming and that I was going to need some provision. And so he sends somebody ahead of time to remind them of that and help them to have that provision ready so that when he gets there, it's not a burden on anybody. It's like, oh my gosh, I don't have enough to feed Paul today. You know, he planned ahead. And what was that? The point, again, the tithe is about the ministry. Paul needed money to do what he was doing. And the church has provided it to him. And then in verse 6 he says, but this I say, he who sows sparingly, what he's talking about there is money, he who sows sparingly will reap sparingly. See, Paul understood what took place in Malachi when he said, you know what, you robbed me, so that's why you're cursed. But he understood, if you sow bountifully, you will also reap bountifully. It's about sowing and reaping. Verse 7. And again, understand, this is about money. This portion of Scripture is about the money. Verse 7. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity. For God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may have an abundance for every good work. So what was he saying there? He's saying, you know what? If you give, God will make sure that you have enough for every good work. You'll have enough. You want this to be a great church? I'm sorry, we need you to give. It makes a big difference. Because there's a lot of good works that God wants to do here. And not just through me, not just to pay me, but through other people and other ministries and other things that we can offer. Verse 9, as it is written, he has dispersed abroad and has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. How may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness? Now, there's a thought there. When a farmer plants a seed, he plants that thing in faith because he has no idea the harvest he's going to reap from that. No idea. He could get a lot. He could get a little. He could get it all wiped out in a storm and get nothing. Think about that for a moment. God supplies the increase. If all you have is that dollar to give and you give it, you're giving it in faith, and you're trusting God to do something with that. God will do with it whatever He wants to do with it. And somehow God has a way of taking that farmer's seed and making it grow into a plant, and there's a whole bunch more seed. How does that work? It's amazing. If you think about it, one seed produces a whole bunch more. $1, I don't know how God does it. He can turn that $1 into a whole bunch more. God is awesome. And so now you're all thinking, well, next week I'll just give $1. No, 10% is more than that. But, okay, verse 11. While you are enriched in everything for all freedom, liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God for the administration of this service, not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God. And so he's still talking about the money. It goes much farther than what we think. While through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ and for your liberal sharing with them and all men. And by their prayer for you, who long for you because of the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. That portion of Scripture is about the money. Who provides the money? God's people. Who provides the money to God's people? God. And you know, it's a principle that's hard to understand. There's certain things about God. Really, if I confess my sin, you're just going to forgive me? All I got to do is tell you I did it? Yeah, that's how it works. Own it. If you did something wrong, own it and explain it to God. Look at God, this is what I did, and I'm really sorry. Hopefully you really are really sorry. Because I wouldn't want to walk up to God and say, hey, you know what, this is what I did, and then I'm pretty glad I did it. I wouldn't want to be that guy. I'm pretty sure that when we get to the point where we're ready to confess our sin to God, we're genuinely sorry. But the idea that, how does that work? What is that all about? Why, you know, what is it about believing in Jesus? It's believing in our hearts and confessing with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. We're saved. How's that work? I don't know, but that's the rules. That's how it works. And so how is it that if I give 10% and I give an offering and I take care of the needs of the poor, how is it that somehow that turns into me having even more? I don't know. It doesn't make sense. But in God's economy, it makes perfect sense. And so who are we going to trust? Jesus, Jesus. I trust in Jesus. Oh, for grace to trust him more. Right? There is so much more that I need to talk about that pertains to this, and we'll get into this next week. One thing I'm going to ask before, because there's a whole bunch more in the New Testament that talks about it, and I want you to receive the blessing that God has for you in this. You know, I'm not going to say the gospel is all about the money, but I'm going to tell you something. There's a whole lot to do with the money in the gospel. It is amazing when you see what God does. I have a question for you, and maybe next week I'll start with this question. Is your bank account tied to your faith? Think about that. Is your bank account tied to your faith? That's an either a yes or that's a no. Is your faith tied to your bank account? What do you believe in? You will invest in what you believe in. And so take a look at that from another angle. What have I been investing in? Because really that's showing what I believe in. Who wants to be blessed by God? I do. And I'm not saying do this for gain, because then you'll be a rich person. That's not what it's about at all. But you know what? If you will sow into God's kingdom, there's some verses that we'll share next week that show that you will be rich in God's kingdom. I would rather be rich in God's kingdom and live like a pauper on this earth. Why? I think rich in God's kingdom for eternity trumps poverty on this earth for a few years that go by like that. stand with me this morning. I'm just getting into this. I don't have time to finish it. And I hope nobody's discouraged, like, oh, now I got to give more. Just be patient. I believe God will bless you. I believe God's going to bless this church. And I stand corrected. I repent for not having preached this to you before. It matters. The tithe matters. You know, there are people here that I know right now. God bless you, Don. God bless you. There are people here that will testify right now, you know what? I didn't have to give, but I gave anyway, and God blessed me because of it. And there are those that may, you know what? It doesn't matter. If you're a rich person, it doesn't matter if you're a poor person. What matters is that we're obedient to God's word, right? Now, I don't want to guilt anybody into giving. That's between you and God. I don't want to, you know, make false promises to anybody to make them give. It's between you and God. But I know this, based on the stuff that I've been reading and learning and studying, wow, it is better to give than to receive. And we'll touch on that verse next week as well. And so, Father, we stand here trusting you. And I, as a pastor, God, forgive me for not preaching this before, because perhaps by me not teaching this, maybe somebody has missed out on blessings in their life because they didn't know the value of sowing into your kingdom financially. So, Father, I pray a blessing on each and every heart here, that we will hear your voice speaking to our hearts. God, that we would be like the churches we're going to hear about next week. Willing to just give everything for you. God, bless your people here. We understand that there is a principle in sowing and reaping. In harvest, there's seed time and there's harvest. And so may today be the day we determine in our hearts, God, that we will sow into your kingdom. That we will take care of the small thing, which is the tithe and the offering, as well as the big thing, which is the justice, the mercy, and the faith. God, bless your people. That we would be lovers of you and not lovers of money. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you all. I hope I didn't scare anybody away. But there really is a blessing that I'm looking forward to teaching some more on this subject. Have a wonderful afternoon. Listen, tonight, one more thing. Tonight at 6:00, we have a movie called, what's the movie?
Old Fashioned.
Called Old Fashioned. Is it for youth?
It's for everybody.
It kind of focuses on youth, but if you'd like to come out and enjoy that with us tonight, we'd appreciate having you at 6:00. Other than that, God bless you. Have a wonderful afternoon, and I look forward to continuing to move forward in God's kingdom. Amen.